Appreciate all of you being here today. I'm opening in my Bible. Where am I opening my Bible to? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We'll be there in just a moment. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm glad we can be together. I'm glad. I'm thankful for the songs that we have sung this morning, songs of praise to our God. And certainly that is the object of our worship. It's the object of our lives, to glorify Him, where He is the emphasis, the focus, where people see Him in us. And I think that's so important. We live in a world today that, in which everybody wants the focus on themselves. Matter of fact, I would say that so much of social media today is about the focus on me and what I am doing, and to share that with everybody else. And I'm not necessarily saying that the sharing of the things going on in your life is a wrong thing or a sinful thing, but it can begin to overwhelm us in such a way that we think, well, it's all about me. And yet, in our lives as God's people, it is all about Him. It is all about glorifying Him. And I hope those have been your thoughts this morning as we've sung these praises to God and been able to reflect on Him, who He is, and what He's done for us in the Lord's Supper as well. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad we can spend some time together. Well, it is what is called March Madness season, as we are approaching into what's called the NCAA tournament, and in which we will have 68, used to be 64 teams, there will be 68 teams in the college basketball arena that will be battling for that number one position in the country. And it's called March Madness because all of these teams are coming to play each other, and you've got what you think is the best in the nation and some which are not very good, the 68th in the nation. And you never know what's going to happen. That those lower-ranked teams could upset those first-ranked teams, and it just turned everything upside down. I don't really watch college basketball except for these 7 to 10 days because it's so interesting to watch, more about watching the underdog and rooting for the underdog. But what also happens is that people will get the NCAA brackets, the playoff brackets, and they will fill those out, and different individuals will get together, and they'll see who has the most accurate bracket as the tournament goes on, and they'll eliminate the teams as they are eliminated to see who really chose the top 8 or the top 4 or the number 1 team in the nation when the whole tournament is over. And there are a few people who don't really know anything about NCAA college basketball, and they will fill out that bracket, and they will choose it solely based upon the mascots of those teams. That they like some of the mascots, and they don't like some of the others. They might like the Bears and the Tigers and the War Eagles, and they might not like the Terrapins or the Hilltoppers. I don't even know what a Hilltopper looks like. I think he's a red blob, I think is what they have as a mascot. But you've got all kinds of different mascots, and they will choose the winning teams of the tournament solely based on mascots. And we see a lot about that. Everybody seems to have a mascot. All schools seem to have one. And typically they are things that are considered to be powerful. Trojans or War Eagles or Tigers. Or even a Roll Tide is a powerful thing. Now, that doesn't always explain why Maryland chose the Terrapins. I'm not sure what's powerful about a slow-moving turtle. Or why Oregon chose the Ducks, although if you've ever seen a fierce duck, it will scare you. But we have all of these different kind of mascots. But there's one particular animal I've never seen as a mascot. And yet, it's the one animal to which God's people are most often likened. And that is a sheep. We are called sheep. Over and over and over. You don't find a mascot like that. Whenever you ever heard of a sheep doing any damage, whenever you ever heard of a sheep overpowering some other animal, whenever you ever heard of a herd of sheep raining terror on a community, you never hear about that. A pack of sheep doing something rebellious. Whenever you thought of as a sheep as having admirable character, we don't. And yet Psalm 100 says that we are the sheep of God's pasture. Jesus describes us as sheep. Isaiah 53 that Steve read for us this morning, we see about the sheep that was led to the slaughter. And we are sheep that have gone astray. You know, we often want to be one of those creatures that society admires. Matter of fact, leaders are often called lions. That's typically the animal that is assigned to a powerful leader. Because they're powerful. They are kings of the jungle. They are the predators. When you go to the Bible, though, and you start looking for lions, they're often bad. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it is the devil that is referred to as a lion. Although, in Revelation 5, Jesus also is referred to as a lion. I don't want to be like the devil. But we look at different aspects of animals, and we typically want to choose the more powerful ones. So we are stuck with this analogy of the sheep. It doesn't seem very powerful. It doesn't seem very intimidating. You never see a high school with sheep as the mascot. Can you imagine if that high school team got beat in football and the headlines would say, "Sheep got slaughtered"? I mean, that just doesn't go over very well. But that's what we're called, over and over again. I want to share with you three things about sheep. Three things the Bible says about sheep that are characteristics you and I have. Number one, the Bible talks about sheep as being despised. Sheep were animals of sacrifice. Sheep were truly those who were led to the slaughter. Sheep are considered innocent. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. When Jesus makes his entrance in Revelation 5, he is called a lion, but then he is pictured as a slain lamb. Sheep are despised by the world. You think about that. If you were to look at a thesaurus and you were to look at the word lionesque, that's a character we would like to have. A trait of being brave and aggressive and regal. Look up a sheep. Look up the word sheepish. Is that really a good word? Do we like to be called sheepish? Embarrassed, chagrined, ashamed, bashful, mortified? Are those the terms that typically you would like to use to describe you? Are those what you put on your resume? Yes, I'm a sheepish sort of worker. Describe Norm Webb for you. Well, he's kind of sheepish. It's not really a good quality. It's not someone we really want to hire. The guys on the football team. What kind of guys do you want on the football team, coach? Well, I'd like sheepish guys. Guys who are embarrassed and intimidated, mortified. Now, we look for people that cause that in others. We've looked for people who cause others to be sheepish. The world despises sheep. The Bible even talks about it in those sorts of terms. The quality of sheep is often failure. All of us like sheep have, we read it, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All of us like sheep have, what does it say? Gone astray. It doesn't say all of us like sheep have succeeded. All of us like sheep have accomplished. All of us like sheep have conquered. It's not what it says. It says all of us like sheep have gone astray. That's not an accomplishment. The world doesn't say that's a good trait. The Messiah is described even as a failure there in Isaiah 53, as one who is led to the slaughter. Sheep get slaughtered. That's why nobody ever adopts that mascot. And yet that is how the Bible always paints the picture of sheep. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, if you're already there. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. Jesus tells the apostles, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Go to the lost sheep. They were all lost. Sheep lose their way. All sheep need a GPS system. In Matthew chapter 15, if you go over just a couple of chapters, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, he answers this Syrophoenician woman when she comes and she's asking for help. Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those who are lost, those who have gone astray, those who have abandoned, those who have forfeited, those who are without direction, failures despised by the world. That's sheep. That's how you and I are described. We are sheep. Sheep are despised. But they are despised because they're so dependent. Sheep are dependent. Philip Keller writes in one of his books, A Shepherd talks about being a sheep is what it's entitled. He talks about how dependent sheep are. He said they lose their way constantly, and they're so notorious for not being able to make it on their own. There's an expression that you read in Numbers 27 and 1 Kings 22 and Matthew 9 verse 36. It's all the same language. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Matter of fact, you never see sheep without shepherds. You think that about that for a moment. You take cows, for instance. Cows don't need shepherds. You put cows in a field, and they just wander around. And as long as there's some grass there for them to eat, they usually take in water to drink. They take care of themselves. But you have to lead sheep wherever they go. You hear about wild horses and cows and bulls and goats and wild dogs and wild cats. They all seem to be able to go out into the world and take care of themselves in some way. You never hear about they've gone astray or they're so dependent. Sheep need shepherds. They get lost. Jesus tells the parable about the 99 sheep. How he took care of 100, and yet one goes and gets lost, and he has to go and get the one. You would think they would have followed, but no, he's lost. And sheep get what are called cast. They get in wet grass, and their wool gets heavy, and they end up being weighed down. And if they tip over and fall down while they're that heavy, they can't get back up. And there they are, just lying on the ground with their little hooves moving in the air, crying out because they've got to have help. The other sheep can't even help them. The shepherd has to come over and help them. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture, but I recently saw a picture of a sheep that did wander astray. Somehow he was able to live away from the shepherd for quite a while. And when they finally found him, it had not been sheared. And it was the wool had grown over its eyes, and it was weighing it down, and it was really about to die because no shepherd was there to shave the wool. Sheep are so dependent on a leader. Sheep without a shepherd. They cannot make it without a strong leader. It's interesting that in Psalm 119, in the last verse of that psalm, as the psalmist talks about the great word of God and how the word of God helps him in so many ways and why he is so desperate in need for it and how he longs for it and what it's done for him. In Psalm 119, in that very last verse, it says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Hear what he says? I've gone astray. Come get me. I can't get back on my own. I desperately need you, shepherd, to come get me. Sheep are so dependent. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, he quotes from Isaiah, and he is quoting really about what's going to happen to the apostles when he is taken and is arrested. And it says that the sheep will be struck And what does it say? The sheep will be struck and they will rally to victory. No, it doesn't say that. The sheep will be struck and they will hold firm. No, it says the sheep, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will scatter. They will scatter. Once the shepherd is gone, the sheep scatter. They cannot make it without their leader. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, Peter quotes from Isaiah 53 and he says, "We are continually straying sheep. They require constant attention from a shepherd. They are dependent." And so sheep are despised. You never associate sheep with really good qualities. And sheep are despised because they're so dependent. They can't seem to be able to take care of themselves or do things themselves. They can't find grass. They can't find water. They can't. They are constantly in need of the shepherd. And they are despised because they are dependent, and they are dependent because they are defenseless. Sheep are dependent because they are defenseless. A sheep has no weapons. A cow has horns and hoofs and its size. Other animals have typically some sort of defense system. Even the ones that seem maybe harmless sometimes. Have you ever picked up a caterpillar and it stung you? Sheep have no defense system. Even a possum cornered is more dangerous than a sheep. Nobody ever runs from sheep. You never see that. Run, run, get out of town, the sheep are coming. It never happens. They don't bite, they don't kick. In fact, you can frighten a sheep to death. They're absolutely defenseless. They have no natural weapons. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 8, Micah says, "Like a young lion among a flock of sheep, there is none to rescue." In Matthew chapters 10 and verse 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "I send you as sheep among wolves." He says, "I'm sending you out in a very hostile environment. You're not equipped by yourselves against the lions." David had to rescue the sheep out of the lion's mouth. I tell you, David would have never tracked down a sheep to find a lion sitting over in the corner, shaking, scared, and a sheep over looking down at him. You would have never seen that sort of situation. That's not what you find. Matter of fact, if you imagine a lion sitting on a high point watching sheep, watching a young lamb moving from sweet grass spot to sweet grass spot, until the lion figures that the lamb is far enough apart from the shepherd that there's no way he can run, and the lion roars as he's about to attack, the sheep has only one choice. Run. Otherwise, he's going to die. By fright or by struggle, but he is not going to fight. He can only run. That's what the sheep has to do. He has to run to the shepherd. It seems to me those three qualities: sheep are despised by the world, and because of that, they're so dependent. Because they're so dependent, they're so dependent because they're so defenseless. They have no means of personal protection. What we need to realize is that we are exactly that. We are sheep. We are defenseless. We, as the people of God, in and of ourselves, stand up to the roaring lion Satan, and my only recourse is to run to the shepherd. Jesus speaks of that characteristic. When he's on the cross, he could have called legions of angels to come and intercede for him and fight for him. But he doesn't do that. No, instead, he cries out to God to show the world that despised him, that it was in those qualities that he would demonstrate his power. Despite being despised, despite being dependent, and despite being defenseless, it was in those qualities that Jesus would demonstrate his power. And that is what we are. If we rely on our mental acumen, our physical prowess, our monetary resources, or whatever it is, if we do that, you've put it all in the wrong place. All those things pass. Some with time, some with age, some with the end of life. And what we have to understand, without Jesus, without our shepherd, we are nothing. We are dependent people. Go your way. Do your best. Make your own way. You're smart enough. You're a leader. I'm not. That's not what God called me to. He called me to listen and obey my shepherd. And that will lead to being despised in the world. But that ought to be a comfortable badge. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to talk like the world. I don't want to dress like the world. I don't want to live for what the world lives for, because all that's passing away. I know the end result. Why would I want to cast my lot with losers? Because we are the counterculture. We should look different. And so as we admire the qualities and traits of independence and self-sufficiency and personal leadership, we provide the counterculture. We are despised. We are willing to be dependent. We are willing to be defenseless because we follow the one who is all-sufficient and powerful and will bring us to ultimate victory. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in and of ourselves, in our own power, in our own prowess, in our own acumen, and all our qualities we think are strength, if that's what you rely on, you've got to understand it's going to evaporate. If we are going to be strong, if we are going to be leaders, if we are going to be those that show the world what true character is, it is because we are with the shepherd. I know it's hard to get excited about being sheep. There's nothing real exciting about that. Like I said at the beginning, we want to be lions and we want to be eagles and we want to be tigers. But you need to understand, you can't have a shepherd if you are not a sheep. Do we get that? You want to be a lion, you're on your own. You want to be a tiger, you want to be an eagle, you're on your own. But if you choose to be a sheep, if you choose to be despised, if you choose to be dependent, if you choose to be defenseless, then you have a shepherd. What do you want to be today? If you want that shepherd, well, then you can know him. You can know him and you can know all about him and how much he loves you. Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, he talks about him being the shepherd and the sheep that we are. And he says, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. Do you know his voice? Do you know what the voice of Jesus sounds like? When he speaks, do you listen? Do you follow? You need to know the shepherd. Can we help you with that this morning? Can we help you come to know the shepherd that can lead you to fields that are never brown but always green, to waters that are always streaming? Do you want to know that shepherd? Because something else you need to know about this shepherd is that while he was a sheep that was slain, he is also the lion that destroys Satan and protects you from the power of sin. You want to be a sheep today? You want to know the shepherd? If we can help you in some way, come while we stand.